Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in our series on Jeremiah chapter 50. We are now in verses 35 through 39. Let me first read those verses, and then we'll go into our introduction, and then look at each verse one by one. Beginning in verse 35 of Jeremiah 50, we read, "A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there, and the owl shall dwell therein. And it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation." In this study, we continue with the theme of Yahweh's current spiritual judgment upon Babylon, that is, upon this world. We will find that a sword is upon the Chaldeans and the inhabitants of Babylon. It is upon Babylon's princes, her wise men, the liars, her mighty men, and her treasures. The sword is also upon the king of Babylon's horses and his chariot, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of Babylon. In fact, all these mingled people of Babylon become as women. Now, what exactly does all this spiritually mean? And then we are told that a drought is upon Babylon's waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. What does this mean, that there is a drought upon Babylon's waters, and that they shall be dried up, and that Babylon is a land of graven images, which they are mad upon? Finally, because Babylon, that is this world, is a land of idols, of which they are mad upon, we are told that the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands, along with the owls, dwell therein, and Babylon shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. What are these wild beasts of the desert and islands? And what are the owls that dwell in Babylon? And what does it mean that Babylon shall no more be inhabited forever, nor dwelt in from generation to generation? These and more are some of the questions we will answer as we look at each verse now one by one. Well, let's begin with our first verse. This is Jeremiah 50, verse 35. "A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men." In this verse we first read, "A sword is upon the Chaldeans." This sword, of course, is the word of God, as we learn in Ephesians 6, verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And again, we read in Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we read that this sword, that is the word of God, is upon the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were a part of the southern Babylonian Empire just above the Persian Gulf on the lower Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And they made up the Babylonian army. These Chaldeans who came against Judah in 587 BC during the Great Tribulation from 609 BC to 539 BC, which is the 70-year period prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 25:11, are a type of all those who came against all the churches to spiritually destroy them with false gospels and teachings during the final Great Tribulation between May 21, 1988 and May 21, 2011. So, these Chaldeans are a picture of all the false Christians who now reside in all the churches. They are the churchgoers of our day. And now, ever since May 21, 2011, Yahweh has brought His vengeance upon these Chaldeans in all the churches by the Word of God that declares an end to any hope of any of them ever being eternally saved. Hence, a sword is upon the Chaldeans. That is, the sword of God and judgment has come upon all those who have remained in and have not departed out of all the churches. And it declares that any possibility of their salvation has ended ever since May 21, 2011, which now guarantees that all the Chaldeans will perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day. Yes, a sword is upon the Chaldeans indeed. Next, our verse states, saith the Lord. That is, that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon the Chaldeans, that is upon all those who have remained in all the churches, says the Lord. And the word translated as Lord is, of course, the word Yahweh, as we have covered many times. So I won't get into it here. So it is Yahweh Himself who is making it clear that judgment is upon all those who have remained in the churches, namely the Chaldeans. But not only is a sword upon the Chaldeans, says Yahweh, but our verse states, it is upon the inhabitants of Babylon as well. So not only is the word of God against the churchgoers, but it is also against all the people of Babylon, that is the entire world, including the churchgoers. Yes, it is against the churchgoers, but it is also against all the unsaved people in the world who do not go to church as well. As we have been saying repeatedly, there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation for anyone in this entire world who was not already saved by May 21, 2011. Yes, a sword is upon the inhabitants of Babylon. Well, our verse continues by categorizing the inhabitants of Babylon to whom the sword is upon. First, we are told that a sword, and that is the word of God, is upon or against her princes. This word, translated as princes, can also be translated as chiefs, rulers, captains, or leaders. So we are being told that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon or against the princes, the chiefs, rulers, captains, or leaders of Babylon, this world. Literally, this means that the word of God in judgment is upon the ones in charge of this world, namely the presidents, governors, congressmen, princes, kings, chiefs, captains, rulers, and leaders of this dark world. But spiritually, this means that the word of God is against the spiritual rulers of this world, which are the leaders of all the churches, as well as all other spiritual leaders of this world. And how is the word of God against all these various leaders? Well, the word of God is against all these various leaders in that it declares that there is no more possibility for their eternal salvation. Then next, we are told that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon or against her wise men. Literally, Babylon's, that is this world's wise men, would be the well-educated, such as those who hold doctorates or PhDs in various areas of study. But just like the princes, the word of God is now against them, as they no longer have any possibility for eternal salvation. So the truth is that their wisdom, their education, may have gotten them a better job, but it has led them nowhere but to death. And so we must wonder why they were ever called wise men in the first place. Nevertheless, we are told that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon them in this day of judgment, ever since May 21, 2011. Moving on to verse 36 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 36, we read, "A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed." In this verse, we read, "A sword," that is the word of God, "is upon the liars, and they shall dote." The sentence, "and they shall dote," is probably better translated, "and they become fools." So our verse should read, "A sword," that is the word of God, "is upon the liars, and they become fools." That the word of God is upon the liars means that the word of God is against the liars of Babylon. That is, everyone unsaved in this world, including in all the churches, in that they no longer have any possibility of eternal salvation. And because of this, the liars become fools, because it is now revealed that all their lying has gotten them nowhere eternal, but only to death. Yes, because eternal life is now impossible for all of them, they are guaranteed to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. And their lying has not helped them, but has rather led them to death. They have become fools, indeed. Now we read further in our verse, "A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed." Babylon's mighty men are the strong or brave men in the world. And we are told that these men will be dismayed. Actually, we need not translate it, "and they shall be dismayed," as if they would be dismayed at some time in the future. But it can be translated in the present tense, "and they are dismayed," because we are now in that period of judgment day when the mighty men should be dismayed. That is, they should be discouraged, weakened, or disturbed. And why should the mighty, strong, or brave of this world be dismayed, discouraged, weakened, or disturbed in this day of judgment that we now find ourselves? Well, because they are now finished. They are soon to be annihilated on the last day of judgment day that we are now in, and they have no possibility of being eternally saved. This is enough to dismay, discourage, or disturb anyone, even the most mighty, strong, or brave men that are found in this world and in all the churches, namely Babylon. Verse 37 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 37. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. Here we first read, a sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots. In the Hebrew, it does not actually read, a sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots, as in the King James translation, but it reads, a sword is upon his horses and upon his chariot, not chariots plural, but chariot singular. And we wonder just who his refers to. It couldn't be referring to Babylon, because up till now, Babylon has been signified by the pronoun her, like in her princes, her wise men, and her mighty men. So who does his refer to when we read that a sword is upon his horses and upon his chariot? The most obvious answer is that it refers to the king of Babylon himself, namely Satan. After all, our verses in the context of speaking about her, that is Babylon, so that if a sword is upon his horses and upon his chariot, in the context of speaking about or being in Babylon, it must be upon his, that is Satan's horses, and upon his, that is Satan's chariot, because he is the only one to whom this could be said of. Therefore, our verse can be translated, a sword, that is the word of God, is upon his, that is the king of Babylon's, Satan's, horses, and upon his, Satan's, chariot. Now, the sword, of course, represents the word of God. And thus, for a sword to be upon the king of Babylon's horses and upon his chariot means that the word of God is against his horses and his chariot in judgment. But what does his horses and chariot represent? Why, in the Bible, they represent the strength of the king of Babylon in battle. The strength of the king of Babylon in battle. So in that a sword is upon his horses and his chariot means that the king of Babylon's, that is Satan's strength in battle, is no more. And what is it that has made Satan so weak? Well, it is a sword, that is the word of God, of course, for the word of God has now made it so that there is no longer any possibility for eternal salvation, and it has deposed Satan from ruling over all the churches like he once did during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. This has made Babylon and its king weak, for now they are all certain to perish on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, and there is no hope for any of their eternal salvations. Yes, a sword is upon his horses and upon his chariot, upon his strength. But next we read that the sword, that is the word of God, is also upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. This reveals that the word of God is upon all the various nationalities of people of Babylon, that is, of this world. Judgment is not only upon the princes, the wise men, the liars, the mighty men, the horses, and the chariot of Babylon, but the word of God, that is a sword, is upon all the various peoples of the entire world, namely of Babylon. This word of God says that there is, as we've said over and over, no longer any possibility of eternal salvation for anyone of Babylon ever since May 21, 2011. They are all now, therefore, weakened, as there is no possibility of their eternal salvation, and they are guaranteed to perish forever on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Yes, a sword is upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, that is, in the midst of Babylon. Now, continuing with our verse, we read, "And they shall become as women." And they shall become as women. That is, all the various peoples of Babylon, that is, of this world, ever since May 21, 2011, become as women. This is not only intended to say that all the various peoples of Babylon have become as women in the sense of having become weak in the light of their having come under the wrath of God, for women are the weaker vessel, 1 Peter 3:7, but spiritually, it is teaching us that all the various people of Babylon, as of May 21, 2011, have become as women, in that none of them can any longer be saved and so reflect the glory and image of God. But they can only remain unsaved and so reflect the image of man alone. And if humankind without God can only reflect the image of man, then they have become as women, since it is women who were meant to be the glory of man, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 7 through 9. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. What this all reveals to us spiritually then is that to become as women means that everyone of Babylon, that is of this world, are no longer able to become eternally saved and so reflect the image and glory of God, but they have become the glory of man only with no possibility of eternal salvation. That is, all of Babylon, all of this world, is now the glory of man and not of God, because none of them can be eternally saved and so reflect the image of eternal God. They have all become as women, the glory of man. Well, our verse now concludes with saying, a sword, that is the word of God, is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. First, what does it mean that the Word of God is upon her treasures? Well, it means that the Word of God in judgment is against Babylon's treasures. And since Babylon's treasures are such things as possessions, property and home ownership, good-paying jobs, family and friends, and money, for the Word of God to be against these things for the Babylonians is a terrible thing. In fact, ever since May 21, 2011, with the removal of eternal salvation from all the Babylonians, it is now certain that all these people and their treasures will perish on the soon-to-come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Indeed, they are about to be robbed, because all that they have worked for, property and home ownership, many possessions, good-paying jobs, family and friends, and money will all be taken from them on the last day, when they will all be brought forth to eternal damnation, which is eternal death, their complete annihilation forever. We're on verse 38 now of Jeremiah 50. Verse 38 reads, "A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols." Here in this verse, we first read, "A drought is upon her waters, And this makes perfect sense because there is no longer any water of eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011. So spiritually speaking, a drought is upon her waters. But what's more, we read that Babylon's waters shall be dried up. Although this is written in the future tense, in that Babylon's waters shall in the future be dried up, it can now be written in the present tense according to the Hebrew, since we have reached that period ever since May 21, 2011, in which Babylon's waters would be dried up. Therefore, our verse should now read, "And they, the waters of Babylon, dry up." And we know why this is. It is because there are no longer any waters of eternal salvation as they have dried up ever since May 21, 2011, when the waters of eternal salvation disappeared from off the earth, so that anyone who was not already saved by May 21, 2011 could no longer be saved. Next, we are given a reason as to why Babylon's waters of eternal salvation dried up. We read, "For it is the land of graven images." And since the word translated as graven images is the same word for idols, we are being told that Babylon, that is this world, and all the churches, is the land of idols, that is false gods. And this is why Yahweh's wrath has come upon them, and why he has dried up the waters of eternal salvation from them. We can only begin to name all the idols found in this world, including in all the churches. There is the idol of money, the idol of possessions, the idol of ownership, the idol of status and prestige, the idol of power, the idol or false Jesus of Catholicism, the false Jesus of Mormonism, the false Jesus of Seventh-day Adventism, the false Jesus of Freemasonry, the false Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses, the false Jesus of the Charismatic Gospel, the false Jesuses that so many people have created in their own minds, the false Jesus in all the so-called Christian churches, and the list of false Jesuses just goes on and on. Then there are the idols of Judaism, the idols of Islam, the idol of ISIS, the idols of Buddhism, the idols of Hinduism, the idols of all the various cults, the idols of the New Age movement. And I suppose that if we were able to list all the idols in this world, they could not all be contained in a book. Yes, Babylon, this world, is the land of idols. There are only a few in this entire world who worship the one and only God, the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And they are that remnant which have been saved by May 21, 2011 by the grace and divine election of God in Jesus Christ, who have departed out from all the churches. And you can click on the link to see why you should leave all churches, and who manifest their salvation by their strong desire to learn the Word of God, that is the God-breathed books of the Protestant Bible, and to obey it. These are those few who, through Yahweh's election alone, have found the straight gate, the narrow way to eternal life, of which we read in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now we find that Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, is not only a land of graven images or idols, but they are mad upon their idols. Literally it reads, "And in the dreaded ones," and that's pointing to the idols, "and in the dreaded ones," that is the idols, "they act mad or crazy." And we don't have to look far to begin to see this. Just think of the idol of Islam that ISIS worships. They are crazy in this idol as they go on murdering innocent people in the name of their false god, Allah. Or think of the idol of Judaism, wherein they were mad or crazy enough to crucify our Lord God, Jesus Christ, who was sinless in his life. Or think of the idol of Catholicism, wherein they think in their mass that our Lord is literally being sacrificed on their human altar as their bread and wine supposedly and miraculously turns into the literal body and blood of Christ. How crazy is this? Or think of the idol of Mormonism, wherein they think that they will one day rule over their own planets and eternally procreate with their wives to bear children to inhabit these planets. Yes, they think that they can become gods. How mad and crazy are they in their idol? Or think of the idol of Nazism, wherein millions of Jews were exterminated in the cause to establish a pure white race. Yes, they were mad or crazy in their idol. Or think of the idol of the pro-choice movement, wherein they murder millions of babies each year in the name of free choice. You can't get much more mad or crazy in an idol than that. And we could go on and on and on about how Babylon, this world, has been a land of graven images or idols. And in these idols, they are mad. But let's now move on to the last verse that we will cover in this study, verse 39 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 39. "Therefore, the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell there. And it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation." Here we first read, "therefore," that is, because of what was said in the previous verse, that Babylon is a land of graven images or idols, and that in these idols they are mad or crazy, we read, "the wild beast of the desert with the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there." Literally, it simply reads, "the desert beasts with the howling beasts shall dwell there. The desert beasts with the howling beasts shall dwell there." And since it is no longer something to take place in the future, ever since May 21, 2011, according to the Hebrew, "the desert beasts with the howling beasts shall not dwell there, but they do now dwell there." Hence, our verse now reads, "therefore, the desert beasts with the howling beasts dwell there." In other words, because Babylon, that is this world, is a land of idols in which the people are mad or crazy about, the wrath of Yahweh has come upon it in that the desert beasts with the howling beasts dwell there. Now, what does it mean that the desert beasts with the howling beasts dwell there? Since desert beasts and howling desert beasts are creatures which live where water is a scarcity, it tells us that there is a drought in Babylon. And we've already learned why there is a drought. It is because the waters of eternal salvation are no more. And the desert beasts and desert howling beasts represent the people of Babylon. They are called desert beasts because they dwell where there is no water of eternal salvation, and they are howling beasts because the howling represents the crying, yelping, or mournful spiritual state or condition in which the peoples of Babylon, that is the peoples of this world, now find themselves ever since Judgment Day began. It is not that they are literally howling, crying, yelping, or mourning outwardly, but the horrible spiritual state in which they now find themselves without any possibility of eternal salvation is pictured or symbolized in the crying, yelping, or howling. Next, our verse says, "And the owl shall dwell therein." The owl shall dwell therein. Literally, it reads, "And the daughters of the owl dwell in her." And the daughters of the owl dwell in her. The owl is an unclean bird, Leviticus 11, 13 through 16. And in that we are told that the daughters of the owl dwell in her, it is referring to people. And these people would be the people of Babylon. They are described as daughters of the owl because they are unclean or unsaved people. So what we are being told is that because Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, is a land of idols, and they are crazy or mad upon these idols, unclean or unsaved people dwell in Babylon. And we know why unclean or unsaved people dwell in Babylon. It is because salvation ended ever since May 21, 2011, so that no one of Babylon can now be eternally saved. Yahweh's wrath has come upon them. But now our verse continues by saying, "And it," that is Babylon, "shall be no more inhabited forever." Although it is written in the future tense, as if Babylon shall in the future be no more inhabited forever, it can now be written in the present tense according to the Hebrew, because we have now reached that period when Babylon would be no more inhabited forever, ever since May 21, 2011. So, our verse should now read, "And it," that is Babylon, "is no more inhabited forever." But how can Babylon, this world, including all the churches, now be uninhabited forever when we now see billions of people who inhabit this world? Answer: because we are not being told that Babylon, that is this world, is now physically uninhabited, but we must see it as now being spiritually uninhabited. And it is spiritually uninhabited forever because ever since Judgment Day began, every one of Babylon is now certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam forever because no one can any longer be eternally saved. And spiritually dead people cannot spiritually inhabit anywhere because they are spiritually dead. Therefore, we can see how Babylon is no more spiritually inhabited forever. Yet, Babylon will also soon be physically uninhabited forever as well, when on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, Babylon will be destroyed in fire to be extinguished forever. So not only is Babylon, that is this world, now already spiritually uninhabited because no one is any longer being eternally saved, which means that everyone of Babylon is certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, and thus incapable of spiritually inhabiting anywhere, but it will soon also become physically uninhabited forever as well. And this is so guaranteed to take place that Yahweh can speak of it as if it has already taken place. Hence our verse states, "It," that is Babylon, "is no more inhabited forever." Yet we not only read that Babylon is no more inhabited forever, ever since May 21, 2011, but neither is it dwelt in from generation to generation. And the reason that Babylon is not dwelt in from generation to generation is because everyone now born of Babylon and to be born of those born of Babylon are all certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, because none of them can be eternally saved. And since they are and will all be spiritually dead forever, they are incapable of spiritually inhabiting anywhere from generation to generation. Furthermore, Babylon is soon to be destroyed on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, when there will no longer be any further generations possible. So it will soon be impossible for Babylon, that is this world, to be dwelt in from generation to generation, because Babylon will no longer exist. And it is so guaranteed that Babylon will soon be destroyed that Yahweh can speak of it as if it is already destroyed. Hence we read, neither is it, that is Babylon, dwelt in from generation to generation, and this is so ever since Judgment Day began. Well, let's conclude our study of these verses. In this study, we first learned that a sword is upon the Chaldeans and upon the inhabitants of Babylon. The Chaldeans represent all those false Christians who overtook all the churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. They are now all those false Christians who have remained in all the churches who did not obey our Lord's command to depart out from them. It is these ones, along with all the other inhabitants of Babylon, that is this world, to whom a sword, that is the word of God, is upon in judgment, with no more eternal salvation possible for any of them. Then we learn that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon Babylon's princes and her wise men. Babylon's princes, we discovered, are the leaders and rulers of this world, while her wise men are what we would normally think of as the most highly educated of this world. It is upon these people that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon in judgment ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, with no more eternal salvation possible for any of them. But the word of God, that is a sword, is not only against the leaders and rulers and wise men of this world, but it is against or upon the liars and mighty men as well. The liars refer to every unsaved person in the world, as they have all lied, and the mighty men refer to all the unsaved strong or brave people in the world. They have all come under the wrath of Yahweh, with no possibility of ever being eternally saved. Next, we found that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon their horses and their chariots of this world. Their horses and their chariots were better translated as being his horses and his chariot singular, which we reason to be the horses and chariot of the king of Babylon, namely Satan. And we found that we found that the horses and chariot are symbolic of strength in battle. I didn't show verses in the Bible to prove that, because it is pretty common knowledge that they represent strength in battle in the Bible. So the horses and chariot of the king of Babylon, namely Satan, are symbolic of Satan's strength in battle. It is his strength that has now come under the wrath of Yahweh, as Satan has been deposed from ruling over all the churches, as he once did rule during the Great Tribulation, and he now awaits his soon-to-come annihilation on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. We then also learn that a sword, that is the word of God, is upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of Babylon. This, we learned, meant that the word of God in judgment is upon all the various peoples of all the different nationalities and tribes throughout the world. No one of any nationality or tribe throughout the world can any longer be eternally saved. What's more, all these people have become as women ever since May 21, 2011. They have become as women not only in the sense of becoming weak as the weaker vessel of a woman, but in the sense that their glory and image is that of man and not the glory and image of God, because none of them can now become eternally or spiritually saved to thus reflect the glory and image of God. No, they are all bound in the unregenerate, non-eternal state to reflect but the image of man and not the eternal glory and image of Yahweh Himself. Yes, they have become as women. Then we learned that a drought is upon the waters of Babylon, that her waters dried up ever since May 21, 2011, because Babylon is the land of graven images or idols, and they are mad or crazy in their idols. This, we learned, meant that the world, including all the churches, is a land full of idols or false gods, and the peoples worship these idols and false gods with intense commitment to the point that they appear mad or crazy. And it is because the world runs after these idols that Yahweh has brought His wrath against them by having dried up their waters of eternal salvation. No one can now become eternally saved, but they are all certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam until the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in, when they will all be annihilated to exist no more. Yet not only have the waters of eternal salvation been dried up from this world, Babylon, because of all the idols in the world of which the peoples are mad or crazy about, but the desert beasts, howling beasts, and the daughters of the owl have been made to dwell there in Babylon, that is in this world, for the same reason. These creatures all represent the peoples of this world, that is of Babylon, who are desert beasts because there's no water of eternal salvation. They're in a desert. They are howling beasts to represent their spiritual condition, which is one of crying, howling, or yelping for eternal salvation. And they are called daughters of the owl because, like the owl, they are unclean, which means that they are unsaved. Finally, we learned that when we read that Babylon will no more be inhabited forever, neither will it be dwelt in from generation to generation, it means that because no one can any longer be eternally saved, all of Babylon is now certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, which means that they are all incapable of spiritually inhabiting anywhere, for they are all spiritually dead. And because all of Babylon is so certain to be annihilated on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we now find ourselves, Babylon can already be considered uninhabited forever from generation to generation, as Yahweh calls those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. Now, may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.